Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk sugar, sweat, and the truth about some common diet tips. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, we are ready to do some salsa, bachata, what is this? I don't know. We're going to burn some calories some way tonight on Fit Club. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon. Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me, as always, at Shaka Strong on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. Got to keep up with all the socials. All
right. I'm loving this Despacito song, and I love that Justin Bieber is on it, too.
And his accents are really great on this, right?
Yeah. It is. I have to agree. And if you want a salsa dance, you can burn a lot of calories. Yeah. I think we need to go back. Have you been salsa dancing?
Well, not recently. I'm from Miami.
Miami, so that's what I was going to say. Yeah. We should do some, burn some calories. But not all workouts, we read in a report today, are equal in the sense just because you sweat, that doesn't mean you're burning a lot of calories and you're getting a great workout. Yeah. So how much you sweat doesn't really correlate with calories burned. Yeah. Shaka, tell us more. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, you'd always kind of think if you're breaking a good sweat that maybe you're burning more calories. But it really comes down to kind of like your body, the amount of heat that you feel, the amount of heat in your environment. You know, if you're being cooled down by a fan, you're not going to sweat as much. Mm-hmm. And it also comes down to body size. You know, bigger, larger people will actually, their body temperature is a little bit hotter, so they're going to be sweating more. And then, interestingly, if you're more fit, you sweat more as well.
Funny thing that you said that when I was on the Fit to Fat show during my fat phase, typically, most nights, I will put my feet right now on a heating pad because I get so cold in a regular blanket. It doesn't warm me up enough, but when I was at my heaviest, that was 40%, or I think it was 43% body fat, I literally would sweat, have night sweats. I would wake up and the blanket and the pillow would be damp from me sweating, and it really showed me like, wow, like, having excess body fat really does warm you up. But it makes sense because look at bears. You know, they hibernate during the winter. Yeah. They have all that fat to keep them warm. So this to me made sense. But I didn't know if you were fit that you would... Well, I do see this often. Most men who are fit, I see them drenched when they're working out in the gym. So maybe that's probably...
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't think so. I guess at least my level of sweat has not really changed too much. So I was a little surprised by that, but apparently your body gets more efficient at cooling you down the fitter you are.
Yeah.
So that's why you're just going to generate more and more sweat.
Another thing that kind of plays into how much you're going to sweat is, I thought I wrote it down, I know, like puberty, when I was younger, when I was a competitive gymnast, I would be so embarrassed because, you know, at the end, like, you put your arms up, you flip and you land your routines. And I had, like, a purple leotard, and I would have big sweat marks, and I would always be so embarrassed. And I actually, if you do sweat a lot and you have that problem, I would go to CVS. They would have an over-the-counter, but it was... like doctor prescription strength. It's called Certain Dry. And what it does, it closes your pores in your armpits or wherever area you put that on, but it allows you to sweat in other areas. So you're not blocking the sweat from coming out. You're just, you know, not going to be embarrassed when you lift up your arms and stuff.
And I thought it was interesting because, like, I guess younger people sweat more than older people.
And it's the hormones, I believe, too, especially, you know, puberty. You're breaking out, you're sweating. Sweating, all that stuff.
And another thing I was surprised by, sweat doesn't really smell, but it's the clothes that we wear because...
The bacteria.
That gets with the sweat that causes the smell.
Yeah.
So if you want to avoid smells, they're saying polyester is the worst.
Yeah,
so if polyester's in your clothing, avoid that. Cotton seems to be a lot better.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself, and I'll choose cotton. I personally would rather have sweat marks than be stinking, walking around, working out. That is not... Cool,
I never considered it was the type of material.
I knew it was. I knew it because somebody had gave me a sweat resistant polyester type of shirt, and I was like, "Why do I smell?"
So you didn't sweat, but you smelled.
Exactly. But I was like, "Why?" Usually, when I'm wearing cotton, I don't have any smell. Yeah. You know, I put enough deodorant on. I'm like, "What's the difference?" And it was because of the type of material.
So if you want to get a home workout, put on your polyester. You know, whatever you're going to be in the gym, you want to wear a little cotton. But I guess with the cotton, if you're sweating, it's going to absorb. and it'll be heavy on your body. So mm-hmm. So if you don't like that feeling of the wetness, then you might want to go with the polyester. But,
Tell us what you guys think. While working out, what would you rather work out in? Would you rather work out in like that wick type of, you know, material that's going to hold on and hide your sweat, but it might have a little stench to it? Or would you rather work out in something cotton and be drenched? I mean, to me, I kind of applaud people who have sweat marks. I'm like, they're working out really hard.
Yeah, right?
But then it stinks when you're working out with somebody and you're working out just as hard and you don't have the sweat to prove it. You're like, why are you? I'm working out, lifting more. What's going on?
I'm not just taking selfies. I'm actually doing some work.
Exactly.
But the best part of it was the study was done by having people smell the type of clothing they wore after they worked out. And it was like, really? How do you
I wouldn't want that,
that
job. Yeah. That's not for me. And I learned too that the bacteria in the sweat that actually smells is called microcochi.
Yeah.
So I never knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all. I was just like, I'm stinking. Let me change my clothes.
And the rise in your body temperature, the sweat that comes out is called eccrine glands, and they secrete the sweat, and eventually it will evaporate. But the sweat that you get from being stressed out or scared is a different type of gland. It comes from the apocrine gland, and that's usually in the armpits or the groin.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
like the groin sweat when I'm scared, but hey, that's what the science says. That's what the science says. So if you're not sure if you're working out hard or you're just nervous,
do a check little test.
Right?
All right, you guys, let's talk about a little detoxing from sugar. This study, I guess it was a nutritionist who did this study. She wanted to see if she could sustain a detox that would cut out sugar for a long period of time, because there's a lot of detoxes out there, but not all of them are good for you or safe. And a lot of times when you detox, you get really bad reactions because your body is weaning off of something.
Yeah.
You'll get, you know, headaches, flu-like symptoms. I know when I put clients on the ketosis diet, they get the keto flu. So tell us more about this nutritionist and the sugar detox that she did.
Well, what I thought was interesting was she said she doesn't like to wean people off the sugar. I've always been, not necessarily about detox, but with diets, I've always said, you know, you want to just do like a relative diet. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit better every day. But for getting enough sugar out of your diet, that wasn't the best way to go. It was sort of like, because people are addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of like, you don't give an alcoholic, you're allowed to have two beers instead of like what you would normally have. And so the best way to achieve a sugar detox is to go cold turkey. And so she starts people off with 3 days of no sugar, and then after that they're able to introduce an apple, and then slowly they can introduce full fat dairy, which I thought was interesting, because the fat is there in the dairy, it binds to the sugar and it digests a lot slower.
The glucose levels. I learned that from an endocrinologist. She was telling me that diabetes patients, the first things that she'll tell them to do if they're worried about, you know, high glucose readings is to, if you're going to have, you know, let's say a banana, to throw some peanut butter on it because it has the fat. And it will slow down the spike in your insulin levels.
So you want, like, I guess, whole milk? Is that the best
way
to go?
Yeah, you
want
to do whole anything. Because whenever you get low fat, they're going to add more sugar into it. Because fat has a lot of taste. And I learned this when my roommate cooked me eggs one day. It tasted
she
so...
cooked in some lard or
something? No, so listen. So she didn't use any seasonings, and she cooked it. And I was like, this is so flavorful. Like, did you use adobo? Like, what did you put on it? And she was like, I just cooked it in a lot of butter. And I looked at the pan, and I was like, oh, that is gross how much butter she actually used. But
Paula Deen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but that really showed me, because me being in health and fitness, I've always tried to, you know, stray away from that. That really showed me, hey, fat adds so much flavor. So when you take out that flavor and you do the low fat, you have to add in so much sugar. Yeah. So it's not the greatest alternative. You want to go for the full fat, anything.
Yeah. I think I got lucky growing up because my mom was very against low fat anything. Yeah. So when I did have dairy, it was all full fat.
Yeah, that's good. That's
smart. So I think it certainly helped. But yeah, people reported, just like you did on your detox, having that that full flavor of the fruit. Almonds got tasty. You
know? It was nuts because Dr. Shamaka, she did the same thing in the sense like cold turkey, like everything. And when I started it off, the first 5 days, it was literally no sugar, no meat, no dairy, basically just vegetables and healthy fats. And it was like my taste buds came alive. I could taste love. I was like at work eating tons of strawberries, tons of like just any natural type of sugar. And it was amazing.
Yeah, it's like they said when the apple becomes candy, too.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. So I found this interesting, too, in the study that they reported that 10% of the U.S. population is addicted to sugar.
Yeah, that's a lot. What is that? 30 million people? That's crazy.
I believe it, too. Yeah. Even, you know, when I look at children, what they're eating. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah, especially, I mean, our obesity is on the rise in the world, but the United States is leading that rise, which is just crazy.
And it's kind of, like, disappointing because I feel like we have so much knowledge here.
Yeah.
You know, we have access to some of the best, you know, professionals and researchers and education.
We have access to comfort food.
Exactly.
And these grocery stores in every corner. So yeah. it's that balance. So it really becomes, I guess, on us to have individual responsibility.
Yeah. Even yesterday, Omar and I, we went to, my boyfriend, we went to Catalina Island and and everything closes down really early.
Yeah.
And we did not see one supermarket in sight. And we were kind of just like amazed, like, how are, like, there's no 7...
There's a market on Catalina.
We didn't see 7-Eleven.
No. There's not that. But there's a little Catalina market.
There's probably a market, but yeah. What I'm saying is
super
we didn't...
Super expensive, by the way.
So. We didn't see, you know, Ralph's on every corner, and everything is shut down by, like, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. So it just amazed me. Like, they literally have to import everything.
I was like, what did you do? Did you get fish? Did you fish?
What was it? Where did we get food from the bar, but it wasn't like anything great, and it tasted like bad. It wasn't that great. It's interesting here. I mean, I know Catalina is still considered America, but even being on a little island like that, it showed us like, wow, you don't have access to anything at any time. I mean, there was no, what do they call it? Yelp mates?
Postmates.
What's the Yelp one?
2017.
Yelp Eats. That's what
Uber
it is.
Eats.
Yeah, Uber Eats. I don't order that stuff. I get in my car because it's that close and convenient that I could go. But yeah, they don't have any of that over there.
Yeah, so. That's good. If you do have go out, I think it's good to either walk or get in your car and go get it. Because I think we're really into this culture of just like, serve me. I'm not getting up off my couch. Yeah. And I think that doesn't help our fitness at all.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. And I feel like, you know, I would typically go to bed hungry, you know, if everything's closed. But now that, you know, you can deliver at, you know, Subway, even open 24 hours a day.
And we're all prone to overeating, especially if we're having the sugar, because sugars are very addictive, and with the high fructose corn syrup. So it's almost this cycle that we're kind of stuck in. So it's really individual responsibility. So hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing something good for yourself.
And the nutritionist who did the study, she had, you know, over, what is it, 50, 100 people did it. And every person that did it lost between 5 to 20 pounds just off of taking away sugar. So it wasn't going vegan or vegetarian or, you know, it was just sugar alone.
Getting rid of that, doing that detox. And by the end of, it was like a 4-week detox. And by the end of it, you can add in the full grains that you have, the full fat dairy, even, was it 5 glasses of wine a week? So, you know, the detox is really designed to let people live and be sustainable beyond the 4 weeks. And I think with any detox, that's what you need to look for, is sustainability.
Yeah, it's definitely sustainability. I think, I don't even know what day I'm on. I have not had, real meat in, I don't know, 50 days, something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Have you been having the fake meat?
The other day, if you follow me, I put up a story that I went out and bought the jackfruit from Whole Foods.
Nice.
It was the chili lime jackfruit.
Yeah.
And it was almost like mine,
blowing
that the meat in the pan while I was cooking it, it literally looked like meat. I mean, it wasn't meat. The jackfruit in the pan looked like meat. It was kind of eerie. Yeah. Like, I'm like, wait, but it's my mind is saying it's meat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's fruit. And then we made some lettuce wraps, and they were horrible.
What?
They were so bad.
So you didn't like the jackfruit lettuce wraps?
No, it was so bad. I just got the wrong flavor.
So not a ringing endorsement. But the barbecue jackfruit,
that's the one flavor I need to get. Yeah, that's what we should get.
Barbecue jackfruit, stick to it. Because
we did the Thai chili lime. We should have put it in, like, I don't know, rice or something.
Sauce.
Yeah, exactly. I think you said to put it in barbecue sauce. It wasn't good, but it looked good, and it was Instagram worthy.
And it tasted like meat, but just not the right flavor, right?
It didn't taste like meat. It was different from the street tacos that you got me when we went to I thought I cooked it long enough because it looked tough, but it was very soft. I don't know. I got to work on my...
Did you not be deterred? Yes.
So I'm going to try again. I'll report next week. So I've been doing pretty good. I have incorporated some fish, though.
Okay.
I've been doing some shrimp, so I haven't been... I just started a couple days ago. Yeah. I felt like I really... I don't know. Dr. Shamika, she said, listen to my body, and I was craving tuna fish and shrimp. So
go to Doomies, you know, what is it, Fountain Vine, and they've got shrimp that you cannot distinguish between.
Are you serious? Doomies?
You can't tell. Yeah. I mean, like, I had the shrimp, and I went up to the counter twice. I said, are you guys sure? are y'all sabotaging
funny.
Me right now?
Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely try that out.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Check it out. And I need to know where they buy it from. But, I mean, I was shocked to find out the shrimp. It just... vegan shrimp.
Interesting. I didn't know they had that. I heard that they have vegan bacon.
Oh, yeah. Vegan bacon. Yeah. It's almost indistinguishable. So
it's crazy to me. I'm going to have to try that.
And that you can find at Ralph's or any other grocery store.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. Ralph's is, I mean, they don't have as much options as Whole Foods, but they're starting to come around. I
and
love
Sprouts is pretty good, too.
I love just my spicy black bean veggie burger. That is like,
nice.
I can literally eat that every day. That is definitely my go-to. What is your go-to when it comes to compression pants? Do you work out with compression pants, or what do you wear when you work out?
I normally just wear shorts, you know. I kind of want to get into the craze of compression pants, but I wasn't sure what to get. And then, like, do I wear something underneath the compression pants? Because some people do or some people don't.
Yeah.
It was just too much. I was like, I'm sticking to shorts.
I mean, I think a lot of people turn to compression pants, one, for looks.
Yeah,
they
look good. That's why I wanted
to get
them.
They look good. They show off, especially if you have, you know, great quads and hamstrings, glutes. But there are studies that show that they are not all that they claim. Claim to be. Most people think that if you're an athlete or you want to be an athlete, it's going to help with your athletic performance. But these studies show that it's not so.
Yeah, this was interesting. So it was a study by Nike. And so apparently when you don't run with the compression shorts on, your muscles vibrate more. Mm-hmm. And that vibration activates your muscles, which means the thinking is the more your muscles are activated, then the more you're going to be fatigued. Mm-hmm. So the less vibration that you're able to compress, then, you know, your muscles will fatigue less. So the compression shorts did, in fact, limit the vibration, but the muscles, it didn't help with the fatigue at all. And so, you know, Nike, I like that Nike came out with it.
I was about to say that. I was very surprised that Nike would even be open, because I'm sure their sales in compression pants, you know, among athletes will go down.
Yeah. And so, and there's probably other, and again, there's mental benefits to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they found that, at least in that regard, in terms of fatigue, that there's no difference between compression pants and, you know, a pair of shorts. Mm-hmm. But some people do perform better with not having the sweat, maybe, or the feeling of the fabric.
Yeah.
So that might be something that influences you mentally.
Yeah. For me, I have some compression pants, and I love them because I don't feel my booty jiggle.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay. Like when you're running, you know, and I know there's the compression bras that girls will wear, especially if you're very, you know, big busted. Yeah. It will keep your boobs in place because it's uncomfortable when you're trying to sprint or do certain types of movements and you feel in, you know.
Yeah, so that's good. So I think that will actually help you be a little bit faster if you're not stopping because some, you know, you're uncomfortable or like slowing down as a result.
For me, always I choose comfort. Yes, my performance is important, but I mean, I'm not an Olympic, you know, athlete. I just want to get in a good workout and feel good about myself.
If I want to take a good selfie, I'll change and then it'll be
exactly.
A selfie. Yeah. You know, I have the workout time, and then I'll have like another 20 minutes now for the selfies after the workout.
So how long do your workouts last? You have to do like an hour workout, 20 minutes of selfies.
Exactly. And then sometimes I'll go back and work out because I'm like, did I just work out?
And I've cooled down too much.
You know?
No, I agree. Okay, so let's talk about vaping. Is it a true safe replacement instead of smoking?
Yeah. And then, you know, right now all the media and the science is vaping so much healthier than the regular cigarette. And so I think a lot of people are vaping and using e-cigarettes without even regard to whether or not it's healthy. But they do contain propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they contain the nicotine, but the nicotine is devoid of the tobacco type, the tobacco smoke and the tar that typically causes lung cancer. So it's the nicotine, it's the propylene glycol, and then different additives for different flavors. Now, the problem is propylene glycol and the different additives for flavors we just haven't seen in a long
term. Tell us
term.
What propylene glycol is, because before doing the study, I had no idea.
So it's the stuff that they use on, like, sets for fog, you know?
Like theatrical fog.
Yeah. So if you've been in a concert and, you know, you're on a fog machine, you've inhaled the propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. But there really hasn't been too many long-term studies on that and the effect of vaping. And we do know that when you vape, you tend to inhale a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went and had a little evidence of the lady that was smoking a pack a day, and then she vaped, and she went back to cigarettes. Bad choice. But she went back to cigarettes, and she was now smoking a pack and a half a day. Mm-hmm. So you do inhale more when you vape. So it's not all that's cut out to be in terms of safety and efficacy. So you might want to consider actually quitting or entering a smoking cessation program, something of that nature, before just kind of going, hey, this is the way to go.
Yeah. And I noticed, too, Wendy Williams, she came out and talked about, I don't know if you heard about her son. He's in high school or was in high school when she came out about this topic. She said that her son was addicted to vaping and that she had to put him in rehab.
Wow.
And a lot of people, parents, you know, they think like, oh, at least they're vaping. They're not, you know, smoking cigarettes. It's okay. It's become such a target for that, you know, younger market because they're putting all these different flavors. They're putting the cherry flavor, the watermelon flavor, you know.
And they're not marketed as just safer. They're marketed as safe, really.
Yeah. So a lot of kids are doing that thinking, hey, it's better for my health and it's cool and I got these cool flavors.
Yeah.
But it's making our younger population more addicted.
Yeah, because there are kids that would never pick up a cigarette, but now they're picking up vapes.
Yeah, and because now they have all these flavors.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, it's safe, it's great. So, you know, people just have to be vigilant about it and think twice and know that it's not a safe alternative. It's a safer alternative.
Mm-hmm. So. Because it still has the nicotine.
Yeah.
And that's the addictive part.
Exactly.
So you can get addicted to vaping. So we say no vaping, no smoking.
Unless you're addicted to cigarettes and, you know, kind of use it to, or like use it in the way it should be used. If you're addicted to cigarettes and you want to wean yourself off of cigarettes, maybe go to vaping, but be aware that you might be taking in more nicotine and then eventually figure out a way that you can stop. And you have things
so
like,
no cold turkey?
If you can, but a lot of studies with smoking have shown that it's very difficult for people to quit cold turkey. Like Chantix is a really good way for people to quit. Chantix. I've had a lot of friends take that. It's like a daily pill they take.
Oh.
And just kind of.
And your bloodstream releases probably some a limited amount of nicotine.
Oh, I don't know if it has any nicotine in it, but it just makes you not want to smoke. But I'm not exactly sure what's in this pill called Chantix, but it makes you physically ill sometimes thinking about smoking or trying to smoke. Yeah.
That's
my
crazy.
Understanding. So.
Wow. I'll have to look that one up. All right. So diet fact or fiction. There are five weight loss myths that we are going to talk about right now. So the first one, too many carbs can make you gain weight.
I like this one. Too many carbs to make you gain weight. Because we always say zero carbs, zero carbs, zero carbs. But at the end of the day, it is about the calories.
It is.
So if you're in a negative, if you're in a deficit, if you've burned 2,000 but only taken in 1,000, and all the 1,000 were carbohydrates, you're still going to lose weight.
Yeah.
So people need to understand that. But I do think we overeat carbohydrates.
Oh, definitely.
A lot. So
definitely.
That's why it tends to be effective to cut them out.
It blows my mind sometimes when I pick up even healthy, you know, products like a granola bar, and you're like, how many carbs?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, then they trick you with the serving size, you know, for one stick, and there's like two granola sticks, and you're like,
thing, yeah, or even half a granola is a serving. Wait a minute, I don't. Who eats half a granola?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, carbs definitely can be tricky.
And it's four calories per gram.
Yeah, and I think too, the most important is the quality of your carb. You know, not as processed. You know, I personally don't think there's anything with oatmeal. Brown rice, you know, even bananas, they have carbs, you know, but those are natural, unprocessed. It's when you're getting into all that other gray area that can be a problem.
So just targeting carbs may not necessarily be the answer if you're still somehow overeating your protein and your fats.
Yeah. All right, number two, breakfast is a must for weight loss.
So again, you know, it's all about calories in, calories out. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about weight loss, you know, but your breakfast in the morning might make you feel fuller so that you're eating less throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So that's also something to consider.
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the day, it's going to be about calories in, calories out.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of breakfast because I feel that you're breaking the fast breakfast and it's a jump start to kick your metabolism into gear for the rest of the day. And like you said, you might eat less later on. Yeah. However, I've seen clients who, you know, do not eat breakfast at all. And they see good results just as well. Because
they are still making healthy choices
afterwards. Yeah, and I think that's what's most important.
Because there are times where I don't have breakfast, but now I want that pizza for lunch because now my body's just craving a huge amount of food.
And, you know, not every day. I don't have a full course breakfast every day. Most of the time, you know, I'm having a Greek yogurt or, you know, something small that I can grab, a banana and peanut butter or a shake. So technically, I'm not having a real breakfast, I'm having, you know, something to kickstart my metabolism.
Yeah, I do like an 80 gram to 100 gram protein shake in the mornings, and that is so great because it just fills me up. And there's that myth that's not part of our list, but there's this myth that you can only digest about 30 grams of protein per meal. Mm-hmm. Complete myth. And so the 100 grams for me works really well and keeps me full until I'm ready to eat for lunch.
Number three, zero carb is the best diet for weight loss.
Yeah, so same thing.
Basically,
it's all about calories in, calories out. Though, you know, because we do overeat our carbohydrates, when I did go zero calories or close
zero
to
carbs.
Zero carbs. When I went close to zero carbs, I flattened out immediately.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know.
When you were doing your show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it does really tighten you up because of the way we all kind of generally eat.
I usually, I'm an advocate for ketosis because it really makes you look at your carbs. It's 50 grams of carbs a lesser day. Yeah. And, you know, you shouldn't be doing that long term, but it really, when I start clients on that, it really makes them realize, holy crap, I eat so much carbs, you know? And your body doesn't know how to distinguish, hey, this is carbs. It's like, oh, this is spiking the glucose levels. Yeah. Let's store this as fat. Yeah. Unless you're a marathon runner, basketball player, you know, where you're doing this intense type of sport that depletes your glucose levels, you shouldn't be going ham on carbs.
Yeah, and of course, this is summertime, so we're talking about weight loss, but we're not talking about diabetes. So carbohydrates, diabetic-wise, you know, that's where you really want to watch out. So it can affect your internal health, but weight loss-wise, you know, as long as the calories are less than the ones you're burning, then you're going to be good.
Yeah. Number four, you can't gain weight eating healthy food.
Yeah, of course we know you can. You
overconsumption of anything. I was talking to a diabetic doctor, and she was saying that studies have shown that for some people, when they eat a banana versus like a regular carb, like let's say like a bowl of Frosted Flakes, their sugar levels, their glucose levels will spike as high as eating ice cream or the bowl of cereal. Everybody, it depends, you know, your genetic makeup, your background. Everybody is affected differently.
Yeah.
So until you take, I guess the glucose readers diabetics use, you will not truly know how different fruits or healthy foods affect your sugar levels.
Yeah.
I found that really, really interesting because I've trained with some trainers who, while, you know, you're losing weight, they will say, don't eat any bananas, no grapes. And you're like, but they're healthy. They're natural. But I can see in some cases for some people, they're still sugar.
Exactly. So you want to go to like glycemicindex.org, which is a really great website that puts things in low, medium, and high GI. So for a while, I was doing just like low and medium, making sure everything I had was either low from the lower medium list. Mm-hmm. I think that really helps in terms of like pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. And just that also helped for weight loss as well.
Yeah. All right. Number 5, avoid fruit to help with weight loss. There's too much sugar in it. Kind of like what we just talked about. Again, I say I would rather you eat something natural and your body will have a easier time than breaking it down. I would rather you grab that banana or the strawberries than, you know, jump to cookies, ice cream, and cupcakes because I feel like it may affect everybody differently, but it's not processed.
Exactly. And I prepared for a show just using fruit smoothies. And so, and I had great results. When I was competing like every month, I was trying different little things to see what was going to be the most sustainable for me. And so I would just combine my protein with the fruit smoothies, like strawberries, bananas, apples, whatever it was. And as long as the smoothie was big enough, it had like 4 or 5 huge ones a day to stay full. I found no, obviously I got tighter and I think I won that show. So as long as the calorie restriction is there, fruit is good to have.
Nice. How many shows have you done?
Over 20, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I had no idea. Do you still do them or no?
I haven't done one in like maybe well over a year. So I need to get back on stage because I do really enjoy it. But, you know, with the hectic schedule these days, it's been tough and they increase the show time. So basically, it used to be a 1-day show, now it's a 2-day show.
Oh, so
the commitment has been difficult, but I'm definitely going to do it before the end of the year.
Nice. I'm going to do it November 11th.
Really?
Is it Culver City?
Should we do that? Maybe we'll do this together. November 11th? Let's do it.
Let me just have one last meal. Cheat meal. Yeah, I've been always wanting to do one. And, you know, I did the vegan thing with the 21-day challenge, and now I'm like, okay, this is my next thing. So I literally have a calendar of the next couple of months, how much weight I'm supposed to, and body fat I'm supposed to lose per week, per month, to get me to November, to get
Exciting.
Me to my body fat,
okay,
to where
this.
It needs to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to prep like 2 weeks before, and he's going to get on stage, and I'm going to be like the last 4 months, like starving, working out every day. But that'd be cool.
The more you prep, the less you have to do in the future. So
that's true. Hopefully I'll stay there. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in. This was fun. I learned a lot. Hopefully you learned a lot as well. Make sure if you're not following me, please do at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on social media. Shaka, where can they find you?
Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
And then we also have the Fit Club on Instagram. It's called BHL Fit Club. Yeah. And you can definitely ask away, comment away. We'd love to hear from you. So we'll see you same place, same time next week. On Fit Club.
See you guys.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.